Chapter 23. Third movement. Elegy for an end. Storm's cadenza. Elegy. An instrumental lament with praise for the dead. Cadenza. Originally an improvised cadence by a soloist, later became an elaborate and written-out passage in an aria to display performance skills of an instrumentalist or performer. He and Danzo have fought before, Naruto knows. Nothing about this is new or astonishing, even given the 11 Sharingan eyes the old man now sports. They used to spar when Naruto was Arashi and visiting Konoha, because the Uzukage and the Hokage liked to test each other, and Danzo liked to test them both. The same way Danzo can still recognize Saji and the flair Arashi has always given the otherwise unwieldy weapon, Naruto can watch Danzo move and have at least an inkling of what's coming next. The summons is new, but not the tactic behind it. Uzumaki? Sasuke starts behind him, a general enough name not to give him away, and Naruto is thankful for it. Kurama is one ace he's going to keep up his sleeve until the last moment, if he even plays it at all. You and your teams should take care of the summons, Naruto interrupts before Sasuke can say any more. I'll take Danzo. This is my fight, he doesn't say, though he thinks Sasuke might understand regardless. This is the end of decades of suffering. This is justice for an entire village. Sasuke doesn't even hesitate. He murmurs, four eyes left. Then darts away, fingers flying in Anbu code. The others pull back to face the tapir-like creature with them. Naruto doesn't watch them go, doesn't turn his head to check on them, even though he feels like he should. But he keeps his eyes fixed on Danzo. Four Sharingan left, four killing blows that Izanagi won't allow. But that's simple enough. Four eyes to go, and then Danzo will be a normal man, albeit a powerful one in his own right. But he's old, the same way Sarutobi was old. And Naruto is not. That gives him the advantage here. Taking a breath, Naruto runs his thumb over one of the seals on Saji's haft, and the glow intensifies. Light creeps up the wood, pooling in carved seals and casting pale blue shadows over Naruto's body. Simple, subtle things, barely there, but powerful. People always focus on the big changes, where Fuin Jutsu is concerned. They look at the transportation seals, the bijou bindings, the appearance of life given to inanimate objects. But as impressive as those things are, the real power lies in seals that catch and trap and hold, changes in perception, chakra boots, and a little more speed than the human body should be capable of. An array to trap chakra and negate attacks before they reach the target. Arashi was good with seals. Brilliant. A prodigy, even. Naruto is better. It's a simple matter of capability in the end. Arashi had an Uzumaki's chakra reserves. Large, yes, even for being part of a clan famed for their strength. But in the end, they were still only a man's reserves. And eventually, Arashi hit bottom. He couldn't use the transportation seals he started to design, couldn't fight full out with Saji completely activated or he'd tire too quickly. But Naruto has Kurama on top of being an Uzumaki. Transportation seals are nothing. Sending a pulse of chakra across the entire continent to call his people home is nothing. Raising shields and strengthening barriers and powering secrecy seals and sparring with Gaara all at the same time? Even that can't begin to drain him. With 18 years of practicing and managing his own power, plus Arashi's lifetime spent learning to control chakra in general standing behind him, he's very, very close to inexhaustible. Danzo is an old man, and every use of Izanagi drains him. All Naruto has to do is strike four killing blows and outlast him. The tapir roars, and Naruto can feel the pull of wind sucking him in for half a second before Saji flares brighter and the pull vanishes. He grins and launches himself forward, meets Danzo head on, because that's the only way he ever likes to fight. And a kunai knocks the Naginata aside as Danzo slides past. Naruto knows these steps, though, and turns with him, lashing out hard in a kick at his kneecap. Danzo evades it, darts away too quick for a man of his age, and Win rushes back with razor edges. Naruto just laughs, spins through the gale with Saji leading, and she swallows the chakra down greedily, drinks it away until there's only a faint breeze left, and glows all the brighter for it. A slash from the blade pushes Danzo back, and he snarls, lashes out with another burst of wind, aimed to take out Naruto's legs. Naruto sees it coming, though, plants Saji's butt in the packed earth, and vaults right over the elder's head in a nimble twist, the Naginata's blade flashing down before Danzo can turn and block, ever so slightly faster than it should logically be. Three eyes left now. Danzo's kunai slashes over his head, reinforced with wind chakra to augment its power and range, and Naruto ducks just in time. Saji blocks the second strike, redirects the third, and Naruto leaps away, putting distance between them as he brings his hands up, boar dog ram shaped around Saji's shaft with the ease of extensive practice. Suiton! Tearing torrent! Senju Tobirama is considered the greatest Suiton user of all time because he could pull water out of the air and use his techniques even in a desert. Naruto's greatest affinity will always be with wind, but given his chakra levels and his decades of practice, his water jutsus are only slightly poorer, and he has the power to make them only slightly less destructive than Tobirama's when he puts his mind to it. The water leaves his palm in a wild spiral, fast and vicious, and even as it surges forward, Naruto brings his hands together in a ringing clap for Futon, Gale Palm, and Win screams after it, just barely contained. It strikes the torrent and hurtles it forward, too fast to escape. Danzo tries to leap away, but is swallowed by the waters, and half a second later, the sharp hot smell of ozone and the shrieking of a thousand birds makes Naruto leap straight up into the air. Sasuke doesn't hesitate, but pushes forward even as Naruto flips over his shoulder. His Chidori is bright and powerful, making Naruto's hair stand on end as it passes below him. And a mere glancing blow to the retreating wave lights the whole thing up like an electric storm pulled down to earth. The smell of scorched meat rises, but half an instant later, Danzo is in front of them again, wind-augmented kunai slashing down hard and fast. Two eyes left. Saji catches the kunai, eats the chakra, and turns the blade away, and Naruto follows through with the movement, half spinning and bringing the butt of his weapon up even as the blade knocks Danzo's arm out to the side. It strikes flesh, and beneath the metal-capped end a seal blooms, sharp and dark and the perfect mirror of the largest one on Saji's haft. As soon as it has set itself into Danzo's skin, Naruto breaks away, falls back, and throws out three wind jutsus, Danzo's wind blades, the ones Saji so gleefully swallowed, in quick succession, not even pausing to aim. The seal glows black, and they all strike true. Danzo snarls, even as Izanagi turns the wounds into a dream and vanishes them. He lunges again, and this time Naruto is just slightly too slow evading the wind-edged kunai. It scores a long cut down his arm from bicep to elbow, and he hisses as he draws away. Saji slips slightly in his hand. Not much, but enough to leave an opening, and Danzo takes advantage, pushing forward. Sasuke slides around Naruto's left like they've been doing this for years, like they know each other's every move before it's made, and his katana bats the kunai to the side even as he breathes out a gout of flames. The fire never reaches its target, though. Danzo ducks to the side and comes up with another whirl of wind blades. But the delay, slight as it is, gives Naruto more than enough time to recover. He's been sparring with Gaara for years now, or with Haku or Roshi, and they're all merciless fighters, never giving their opponent half a second to breathe. Naruto has adjusted, has learned to hit and hit and keep hitting until there's no space for even the weakest counterattack. He lunges, Saji swallowing down the unfamiliar chakra and the remnants of Sasuke's fire, and then whips around, one hand just glancing over Danzo's skin as he slides past. The bells in his hair chime wildly as he drops and rolls, Danzo's kunai whistling millimeters above his head. Even as he twists to his feet, Naruto brings his hands together, flickering through hand seals, and breathes, "Activate!" Something stabs deep into his right shoulder, but in the same moment, Danzo cries out and staggers back, steps lurching wildly as if he's drunk. Naruto grits his teeth and climbs to his feet, ignoring the throbbing burn of a wound that's already knitting itself up. He tightens his grip on his Naginata, whirls it up, and throws himself forward in a headlong rush that Danzo doesn't even see coming, much less have time to dodge. Izanagi activates for the last time, removing the gut wound as well as the seal that threw Danzo's equilibrium off, and Danzo snarls in anger, but holds his ground. The very last of his chakra rises, almost too weak to keep Hashirama's cells in his right arm dormant, but he calls it up regardless. He straightens, lifts his chin, and meets Naruto's sharp gaze across the open space between them. Their surroundings are quiet, the summons clearly having been dealt with, and Naruto keeps his feet planted as he swings Saji around and plants the butt against the hard-packed road. "This is it," he thinks, and is grateful that the mask hides his sharp-edged grin. Chakra flickers, triggers something, and Naruto feels it wash over him in a wave. He takes a breath, another, and lets his eyes slip closed. "You don't wish to fight me, Arashi," Danzo says, mellow and friendly. "We've always been close, haven't we?" Kurama snarls in his head, low and harsh, and his fierce red chakra rises, throws the other power off like a tattered veil and casts it aside. Naruto opens his eyes again, and this time he doesn't bother to hide the triumph in them. "Over. This is it. We've won." "Oh," he says softly, "I think you're wrong there, Danzo. You're the reason Uzushio fell. I don't hate many people, but I think you've made that list. And trying to use Kotoama Tsukami on me to convince me that the man responsible for hundreds of deaths is my friend, that just makes it worse." Danzo is already pale, weak from hovering too close to chakra exhaustion. But at that, he goes even paler, blanches to an almost ghostly white, and staggers back two full steps before he steels himself once more. With a curse, he throws himself forward, clearly thinking to use the Izanagi he believes he still possesses to evade a death blow and then keep running. But Naruto pushes off the ground with a hard kick, whirls over his head, and brings Saji's thick oaken shaft arching down like a club. It strikes with a dull crack, throwing the old man forward, and he hits the ground in a heavy and boneless tumble, out cold. Naruto ducks his head, flips in mid-air, and drops to the dirt in a crouch, Saji gripped in front of him in both hands as a counterbalance. The bells in his hair jingle, and then settle with a tinkling hush, and he breathes out, long and slow. "I'm done," he thinks, pushing to his feet, and it feels like there are 100 eyes on him. 300, 4, like every soul lost that day, killed because of treachery and paranoia, and one man's warmongering in the name of a fearful peace, is looking at him, seeing this victory, their victory, finally, so very many years after the tragedy took place. It's for them. For Mio and Shunka and Yui. For Haru and Fuyu and Saihara-sensei. For Kagami and his lonely end. For the son raised as an orphan. For every child forced to grow up without a home. For every family scattered and uprooted and cast to the wind without anywhere to call their own. For deaths and stolen lives and a city ruined but now made whole. For Uzushio, Naruto thinks, and she whispers to him, joy and sorrow and satisfaction, Revenge found in justice, and a village restored, soon to rise above its former position and become something even greater. It's done. And now Uzushio can look only to the future. Now Uzushio can come into its own. One promise fulfilled, and Naruto thinks that Kagami would be proud. His oath to Mito comes next, and it's the one Naruto is truly overjoyed to bear out. Uzushio is long overdue to take its place as one of their world's powers, and Naruto isn't about to wait any longer. It's not as though he's been entirely subtle or even remotely evasive, so Naruto is honestly a little surprised that it takes Tsunade as long as it does to track him down. Danzo is in Konoha's custody, Genma, Raido, and Neji having taken him to TNI the moment the dust from the fight began to settle. Ino is seated on the roots of a tree, pale but conscious, with both Shikamaru and Choji pretending not to hover over her and failing miserably as the unfamiliar purple-haired Kunoichi patches her up. There's a long, deep gash across her stomach, raggedly edged in a way that speaks of an encounter with the tail end of a wind jutsu, but she's healing. It probably won't even scar. "Interesting seal you used there," Tenten says almost idly, seated on the ground with her legs crossed under her. "The second one, I mean." From where he's leaning against the tree, Naruto is seated under. Sasuke makes a noise of agreement, though his gaze never quite wavers from his blonde partner. It takes Naruto a moment to remember what she's talking about. His head feels strange, empty and fuzzy, and sort of echoingly hollow. There's an odd sort of ache in his chest that he can't understand. It's not relief, definitely, or victory, or even anger. Not triumph or loss, but something. He's just not quite sure what. "You mean, oh, that. It's similar to the five element seal, but where that disrupts the chakra when laid over an even numbered seal, this one sends little pulses of chakra into the system at random intervals. The body can't process the fluctuation, and it ends up throwing the rest of the systems off as well when it tries to compensate." Tenten's expression is the intense flavor of interested Naruto's come to expect from Fu in regards to learning sealing. And he wonders a little wickedly how the two girls will get along, and who will end up suffering the most if they do. Haku, probably. Or maybe Suigetsu. Fu seems to take great pleasure in torturing both of them. It strikes him then, with a pang, that he wants to see Fu and Haku and Gaara and Utagata and everyone else. He wants it with a physical ache, a tense, tight longing, only slightly tempered by the warm weight of Uzushio in the back of his mind. The last few days have pushed them out of his mind. Even though he remembered Uzushio as a whole, he all but forgot about the people who make it precious. Had to keep from losing his admittedly fairly short temper in the face of proof regarding Danzo's actions. But now, with Danzo gone and justice all but had, he can think of them safely. He can feel homesick even in the presence of his friends, even in the presence of Sasuke. And it feels cruel, somehow offensive to his lover? Boyfriend? What word is applicable here? But Uzushio is his home. His family is there. Blood relatives and chosen family alike. Naruto knows, bone deep and certain, that it's not wrong to miss them the way he is. Even if he's never really experienced a situation like this before. Has never been removed enough to actually have to miss them. It feels like a good ache. Like stretching new muscles. Just good. "Tomorrow," he tells himself, even as familiar chakra bears down on them like an avalanche. "They'll be here tomorrow, and then we can see what Tenten and Fu are like together, how Gaara and Sasuke get along now, with years and space between them." "Arashi!" Tsunade bellows, far too small a woman to logically be as intimidating as she actually is. Her eyes narrowed and every inch of her radiates fury. You! Naruto winces slightly. There's the first layer of the disguise gone. And while he has no real need to hide now that Danzo has been captured, he still gets the feeling that Haku will kill him slowly, as soon as he finds out just how many people know one or both of his secrets. Hokage-sama, he answers politely, trying for a smile that falters slightly when Tsunade plants her feet in front of him and folds her arms with a glare worthy of Kurama at his angriest. Give me, Tsunade growls, one good reason why I shouldn't throw you in a holding cell right next to Danzo, Uzukage. Naruto winces. Because if I'm not there to activate the transportation seal tomorrow at 10 o'clock, my really excessively overprotective shinobi will go on the warpath, and I have full confidence in their ability to destroy entire countries if they put their minds to it. Not that I would ever advocate the destruction of Konoha in any shape or form, but I should probably on hand so they don't even consider it. And because he'd probably be able to walk right back out of the cell again, no matter which one you put him in, Sasuke suggests, sounding wryly amused. He doesn't flinch under the force of Tsunade's glare, but meets her gaze with a faintly raised brow and an eloquent shrug. Truth. Tsunade huffs out of breath and pinches the bridge of her nose as if warding off a headache. That is a good reason, she concedes after a moment, though when she opens her eyes, the glare hasn't diminished at all. And not announcing yourself? Were I any less lenient, Arashi, I could take that as willful deception of an ally and declare war on Uzushio. I hope you're aware of that. Naruto was aware of that when he, Gaara, Utakata, and Orochi made the plan. They were all aware of it, of the risk and how it weighed out against the reward. But they'd gone ahead with it regardless, because Danzo had to be stopped. Uzushio has grown too big to hide now. It was easy back when it was a ruin, or even when it was newly rebuilt and sparsely repopulated. As it is currently, there are too many people. Trading has to be strictly regulated, but it's hard to bring in enough food, only working through a handful of vetted merchants and farmers. And more people arrive every day, having heard the city's call and traveled across entire countries, wanting to settle in Whirlpool. They're going to have to open their borders soon, and Naruto wasn't willing to risk doing so when Danzo was still free. He meets Tsunade's eyes and doesn't waver. The same way Uzushio could declare war on Konoha for harboring the war criminal who broke a decades-old peace treaty and supplied information about Uzushio's defenses to an enemy, he retorts, unfolding from his seated position and rising smoothly to his feet. We both have far too much to lose here, Tsunade. I made my decision because I remembered that as a little girl, you loved Uzushio too. You came to see my jonin exams, hanging off your granduncle's arm, and you were happy in my village. You thought it was beautiful and that the people were kind. You are Mito's granddaughter, and knowing that, I decided that it was worth the risk. Don't make me regret that. There's a long, long moment of tense silence. And then, all at once, Tsunade's posture relaxes. She steps back and lets her arms drop, even as her eyes soften. You really are him, she murmurs. Jiraiya said you couldn't be, but I couldn't imagine you being anyone else. I've only ever met one person with a conviction like yours, Arashi, and he's not here. She means him, Naruto knows. He can see it in her expression, read it in her eyes. But she clearly believes that Naruto is elsewhere, hasn't made the connection so blatantly in her thoughts. It's to be expected, honestly. She's seeing the immediate, because she actually met Arashi when he was at the age Naruto is now. And she's likely still thinking of Naruto as the 12-year-old who disappeared. She's an adult, used to seeing most people as simply younger than her, so it's a fairly easy mistake to make. Of course, is all he says, however, I let Uzushio fall. I failed it the first time around. This is fixing my mistake. Tsunade doesn't try to tell him that it wasn't his fault, the way Haku and Gaara and Karin do when he brings it up. She just looks at him for a moment, eyes soft and sad, and then inclines her head in a shallow bow. Uzukage-sama, if you would join me in my office, we have much to discuss, she says as she rises, and there's a regretful smile pulling at her lips, because she understands his feelings the way no one but a Kage could. Naruto smiles back, takes a breath, and steps forward. Always, always forward. Don't look back. We don't have to anymore. Of course, Hokage-sama, he returns. Lead the way. With a sharp nod, Tsunade turns on her heels and strides away. And Naruto casts one last quick smile and a murmured, later, Teme, at Sasuke, before he follows her back into the village proper.